Hi, I'm Sandy Snodgrass. Fentanyl contamination took the life of my beautiful son, Bruce. We can't bring Bruce back. Youth awareness and advocacy, however, will save lives. I urge every high school educator and student to go to sullivan.senate.gov/ONEPILL to learn how you can join the One Pill Can Kill media campaign competition.
President Donald Trump signed a flurry of executive orders in his first few days in office. Some have been celebrated, some caused confusion, and some left federal employees uncertain about their future. But one has really struck a chord with Alaskans, the executive order that changed the name of North America's highest peak back to Mount McKinley from its much-loved in Alaska name, Denali. We asked what you thought and heard from more than 700 Alaskans. Did you weigh in? We're discussing the importance of place names and why they matter today on Talk of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
From Alaska Public Media, it's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. Denali, McKinley. How do you identify America's most majestic mountain? Taller than all others in North America by thousands of feet. Mount Foraker, the next tallest, is nearly 3,000 feet shorter. Denali is beloved in our state, and the name is fittingly and firmly Alaskan. Mount McKinley, not so much. But it was officially recognized by the federal government as Mount McKinley for nearly 100 years, from the early 1900s to 2015, when then-President Barack Obama officially changed the name to Denali. Yay! Settled once and for all. But then, as we know, it is now back being changed again to Mount McKinley by President Donald Trump. Here to discuss the history of Alaska's most majestic peak, why place names matter, and what, if anything, Alaskans can do to try to change President Trump's mind is Aaron Leggett. Aaron is the president for the Native Village of Aklutna here in South Central. Also in the studio today is Joe Antonsen. Mm-hmm. Joe is the executive director of the Alaska Historical Society. And on the line with us is Ivan Moore. Ivan owns Alaska Survey Research and has conducted polling on Denali McKinley's name and what Alaskans think about it. Welcome, all of you. Thanks for being on hand today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes. We won't mention where Ivan is, why he's not in the studio with us, but it's someplace warm with palm trees, so we're all jealous.
Florida.
Aaron, I want to start with you. Okay. Start us off with the Athabascan history related to the name. You noted in an earlier interview that there are at least six recorded names from various tribal groups living on the north and south side. Tell us about them.
So the six groups that live around the mountain, well, let's see if I can get it right here. So you have the Denaina, the Degaton, the Lower Tanana, Koyukon, Otna, and trying to think what's the other one.
Oh, these pop quizzes are tough.
I know. Anyways, there's another one there, and I apologize for not remembering. But they all, the translations in the languages in the different Dene or Athabascan languages all mean the same thing. It means the high one or the tall one. Denali comes from the Koyukon derivation of Denali. And it's kind of become, I guess, the most popular recognized version of what, but essentially what is the name for the mountain.
Mm-hmm. There is a reverence, Aaron, for mountains. Certain stories can only be told in these high places. How do names for places, especially sacred ones, help people understand their importance?
Well, it's important to note that in most of the Dene languages, mountain, or not just mountains, but place names in general are not very often named after people. They're named after geographic points, or it basically creates kind of like a mental mapping. It's a way of before we had written maps, of telling about the geography of the place and the area, and certainly points of reference. So, you know, the way you would, if you didn't have a map and you were in, I don't know, in Manhattan, and you knew, okay, where's the Empire State Building, where, you know, or whatever the points are, you can navigate from there. And so, and it's all tied to the river systems as well, and often the streams originate up in the mountains, you know, near glaciers and things like that. But also, yeah, as you mentioned, Athabascan people or Dene people think of the mountains as sort of sacred, almost religious places. There's a reverence in the mountains. Certain behaviors have to be observed in there. It doesn't take much to understand why, of course, because the weather patterns can change very quickly. And you know, any mountain climber, I think, knows that, you know, it can be sunny one minute and you can be in the middle of a snowstorm the next. And so mountains were also used as a way of surveying large geographic areas. So, for example, for the Dena'ina, we would call Denali Dele Ka'a, which means the big mountain. And that's directly related to the Dena'ina name Delishla, which means little mountain. The little mountain is the most prominent other mountain that you can see from Anchorage, Mount Susitna. So those two names speak to each other of little mountain and big mountain. Of course, you know, from Anchorage, you can only see the mountain about 20% of the time, but we always knew it was there. And on a good day, it is quite a sight to see, even, you know, from Anchorage, even though you're a couple hundred miles from it.
So true. It is. And I think that adds to its majesty and mystique, is the fact that you don't see it all the time. It only lets you see it when it feels like it, apparently.
That's right.
Joe, I want to get you in here now. Describe the work of the State Geographic Names Board.
Well, Alaska created a State Geographic Name Board, then as the Territorial Geographic Names Board in the 1950s before it became a state. And it has existed ever since. In the 1990s, the responsibility for state geographic names authorities was transferred to the Alaska Historical Commission, which is chaired by the Lieutenant Governor and administratively served by the Office of History and Archaeology and the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. And it works closely with the federal board, the U.S. Board on Geographic Names, that had been created in the 1890s to try to standardize names for maps, for geographic places, for physical features.
You said that changing McKinley to Denali in the past was repeatedly out there. What was the board hearing from Alaskans?
It was hearing that it continued to be of importance that the name get changed. After the program was moved to the Alaska Historical Commission as staff to the commission, I repeatedly got requests from people about what steps needed to be taken to encourage the changing of the name. There had been a big effort under Governor Hammond built from the interest through the 1960s in Alaska Native issues to change it. And most Alaskans of every ethnic persuasion supported the name and rallied around the name, and it united Alaskans.
Hmm. Ivan, turning to you now, you've been doing quarterly surveys since 2010. When did you add a question about Denali? What was the question specifically, and what did you find?
We did the survey earlier on this month, January 10th, I think, to the 12th. Surveyed just over 1,800 people around the state, and asked actually a trio of questions. The Denali one was, there have recently been proposals to change the name of Alaska's highest mountain from Denali back to its previous name, Mount McKinley. Do you support or oppose this proposed change? And that was the first question in the trio. The other two questions concerned the United States acquiring Greenland. And also the third one was supporting or opposing the Union of Canada and the United States. So it was obviously three questions that had been proposed by the president, but no mention, as you noticed, was made of the president's name in the question. Mm-hmm. And we put that out and drumroll, got the results back of 26% of Alaskan adults. This is not registered voters. This is total 18 plus adults. 26% supported the idea of changing the name back to Mount McKinley. 54% opposed the idea. And then surprisingly, 20% said that they had no opinion. Not sure why that many would have no opinion on the issue. You'd imagine it would be a much more hot button, but of the ones that did express an opinion, it was just over 2-1 opposed to favor. So not very popular.
It is interesting that 20% of people said, I don't know, don't have an opinion. Were you surprised by that? I mean, is that kind of a, do you see that a lot in surveys where that
you
big
know,
a percent of people are
it's
just...
actually an interesting, starting when COVID hit, we moved away from doing telephone interviewing. Frankly, I was very happy about that because I never personally enjoyed doing interviews on the telephone when I was called. And so I was in this rather uncomfortable situation professionally where I didn't actually enjoy participating in the thing that I did for work, right? And so when we moved in 2020 almost entirely over to an online methodology, I was very happy about that. One of the very interesting contrasts between the kind of data you get from telephone and the kind of data you get from online, generally speaking, it's very consistent. The opinions people express on the phone are very similar to the ones they express online. But on the telephone, you don't usually read a no opinion option. The interviewer won't read it. So it has to be volunteered by the person who's being surveyed. When you're online, the no opinion is right there. And the old adage in research, of course, is that if you give people a fence to sit on, they'll sit on it. And so it's right there on the screen, on their phone, in front of them, no opinion. And yeah, 1 in 5 people said, meh.
that actually really surprises me. So 54% said Denali, more than half, but not like some crushing landslide of support. I expected, you know, 85% or something like that. Do you think this type of survey helps or doesn't help the case in Washington, D.C.? We can't, you know, say, hey, look at this, 98% of Alaskans want Denali. What do you think about that, Ivan?
Right. Well, it's not crushing. I mean, when you look at the crosstabs, it's very ideologically skewed. Conservatives are slightly in favor of it, 42-36. Progressives are 86% opposed, with just 6 of them supporting it. So a huge difference by ideology, very similar difference by Republicans and Democrats. Republicans are actually split 38-38, and Democrats are 82-9 against. So it's become a very politicized issue. Obviously, there are Trump supporters. Not all of them, I'll give you. But there are Trump supporters out there who will do anything, will support anything that the president proposes. But notably, there are ones who are not. The left seems to be pretty unified.
All right. Well, thank you for helping us better understand at least some of what Alaskans are thinking about this. Again, as I said, I'm surprised that it wasn't a higher percentage. So that's interesting. Aaron, you talked a bit about this before, about the practical nature of most place names. Commemorative names, such as naming things after presidents or other prominent people, isn't as common in Alaska Native culture. What are some of the other considerations that go into place names, and why not after some? Is it just seen as too much about the person and ego if you name?
There's some of that. I think some of it's ego. But I did want to jump back real quick to Ivan's poll and thinking about how it tracks. And the thing that keeps running through my mind is the old mantra from Uncle Ted: to hell with politics, do what's right for Alaska.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I think part of
those were the old days.
Let's keep it alive, I guess, is my point. You know, when in doubt, to hell with politics, do what's right for Alaska. So again, I think it has to do with, as I mentioned earlier, the idea of being able to follow the geography and understand place. You got to remember that these are people that have been on the land for thousands of years, and there's a lot of wisdom that has come from that and has allowed people to really interact in the place. It's not sort of a model that is just commemorative. You know, there's many sort of commemorative names. We could run down the list. And those tend to change over time, interestingly. But I think when it comes back to the people of a place using the indigenous name and being able to understand what that name means, it gives you a more clear picture of the place you're in.
All right, and we'll talk more about the significance of some of that in just a bit. If you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska. And today we're talking about President Donald Trump's decision. I think it was like his first day.
Yeah, it was day one.
Signed an executive order saying that Denali would be changed back to Mount McKinley. So we're discussing that and finding out what Alaskans think about it. In the studio with me is Aaron Leggett. Aaron is the president of the Native Village of Aklutna here in South Central. And Joe Antonsen is also in the studio. Joe is the executive director of the Alaska Historical Society. And on the line with us today is Ivan Moore. Mm-hmm. Ivan is the owner of Alaska Survey Research, and he has conducted polling on the name change. Julie says... Her subject line is all caps, Denali, with a whole bunch of exclamation marks. She says, Denali should remain. The place name reflects what a spiritual and important mountain it has been for many generations. I know that Denali is in the national park, but we Alaskans should have the right to decide the name of the highest peak in North America. The president disagrees with you, Julie. And so she is all in favor of it being Denali and staying Denali. Turning back to our guests here, Joe, just to delve into a bit of the history, for many years, an Ohio congressional member would introduce a bill at the start of every new session of Congress to keep the mountain named after McKinley. What's known about why Alaska's delegation didn't try harder? Why didn't Ted Stevens or somebody else get a bill in first to change the name?
I believe that later, as the issue continued, Senator Stevens did introduce a bill to change the name. The U.S. Board on Geographic Names has policies, principles, and procedures, and so does the State Board. And whenever there was active legislation, something introduced in Congress, the U.S. Board deferred action, would not act. So in many cases when that was introduced, it maybe was referred to a committee and never picked up and carried forward.
Okay. When the National Park was established, it became Denali, but the mountain remained Mount McKinley. How did this compromise come about, and did it appease anyone?
Well, compromise usually means that no one is entirely happy. It was when Denali's boundaries were expanded and became the park and preserve that the name of the park was changed to Denali National Park and Preserve. but they did retain the name of the mountain as McKinley. And immediately, Alaskans began speaking up and saying, we would like the name of the mountain changed.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it goes back to 1917 with the establishment of, it became the name Mount McKinley and also Mount McKinley National Park. But because of Anilka and, as Joe mentioned, the expansion, it became then in 1980 Denali National Park. So there's a rich history here. And yeah, Ralph Regula was the senator from the 16th Congressional District of Ohio. It happens to be the home district of McKinley. And I've heard this argument that, well, it was named after the president. Well, it was not actually named after the president when it was first proposed. It was named after the presidential nominee in 1896. And then, of course, he was assassinated in 1901. And it was not until 1917 that it actually became the official name. So if it was so pressing and it was so important that the tallest mountain in North America be named after McKinley, why did it take 16 years for the federal government to take action on it? Is a good question that I've thought of.
It is a good question. It would be great if somebody could answer that for us. We have a caller on the line, probably doesn't have the answer to that question, but Stu is in Eagle River. Hello.
Hey, well, just to mention, Shem Peets, Alaska, mentioned that Pioneer Peak was also called Denali. Hudson Stuck's 10,000 Miles by Dog Sled, a book I got from your radio show, it's a great read, claims that, as was just mentioned, that it was called Mount McKinley for a name before McKinley was president. And I think that might tie in with President Trump's preoccupation with the Panama Canal, because McKinley was part of the funding apparatus for getting the canal to happen. So I think we can see why it came up now. I do remember at UAA that there were also a bunch of other names from non-Dene peoples, you know, from the Inupiat and farther north, and the Yupik too, and we just couldn't say them. I mean, for English speakers, you know, everyone can say Denali, but if somebody could bring that list up, that would be very interesting too. I was just let Aaron talk about the fact that it's, well, Shem Peets' opinion about that. But, yeah, I think it should say Denali, of course. It's one of the native names we can say. We can't say a bunch of the other ones. And just look at what happened with Suicide Peak up Rabbit Creek there. It's called now Breath of Life Peak, but it's in Denina. Guys, I still can't pronounce the name of that.
Uyanchuch.
And the Shandalar. Yeah, well, go ahead. Also, Shandalar River. Everyone can say Shandalar River. I can't pronounce the new name for the Shandalar River. Anyhow, that's beyond Aaron's range, I think. But anyhow, it's a great show, and let's keep questioning this. Thank you.
I saw Aaron nodding his head when Stu was talking about.
Well, one thing
names.
I wanted to bring up, too, is so one of the arguments that was made by William Dickey, who proposed the name, also, it should be pointed out that the reason Dickey was a gold miner and Alaska in those days was, you know, gold was really coming on board here. And McKinley was in favor of the gold standard. And so there's this sort of self-serving idea for it. But what I wanted to point out, too, is that Dickey said, well, he was the first white man to spot the mountain. That's not true. Going all the way back to George Vancouver in 1798, I believe, noted the mountain, and the Russians on Ferdinand von Wrangel's map of 1839 actually has the mountain listed on there, and the Russians had a name for it. Interestingly enough, the Russians called it Bolshoya Gora, which means big mountain. So, I mean,
well, we're all in agreement about that.
Right. So, I mean, if, you know, this idea that you know, there was no other name. There was also another one locally known as Desmore's Mountain or Desmore's Peak, but that really didn't get any traction. It was kind of a local sort of thing right in that area. But yeah, as Stu said, there are many Denina place names. Yeah, there is Pioneer Peak. Linguistically has the same name of Denali, but it doesn't actually mean the same thing. It's one of those differences of Dene languages, you know, there and there kind of thing.
Interesting.
But it is it is pronounceable by us, and it is, I think it does roll off the tongue. And I think sometimes, not always, but I do think especially for something, if we're talking about, you know, the tallest mountain in North America, that, you know, pronounceability does play into that. And certainly here we are at Alaska Public Media, and you have Molly of Denali, a kids program that goes across the country. And so the name is familiar. And of course, anybody that's drove a GMC Denali, Yukon Denali, and I mean, the name is in the zeitgeist and it exists. And I think McKinley just, I don't know, it just doesn't have much. Maybe in the 16th Congressional District, where there's about a dozen McKinley high schools and parks and other things in Ohio, maybe it means something, but I think for the rest of the country,
I wonder,
it doesn't.
I really wonder if it does. We do need to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue our discussion and hope to take your call about your thoughts about the naming of Denali or President Trump's plan to return the name to Mount McKinley as Talk of Alaska continues. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are discussing President Trump's first day executive order to change Denali's name back to Mount McKinley. Wah, wah. Lots of Alaskans are unhappy about this. And we had a question, Ivan, for you about, this is kind of, it's not directly related to Denali, but an important question to make sure that you're reaching a good cross-section of folks when you're doing your research. Uh-huh. Here's a question from Pam, who says, I am reluctant to answer any polling, texting, or calling because it's difficult to know if it's an objective poll or a financial scammer. So she says, do you have any advice so that my opinions can be heard? And I think that's a question that a lot of people have because, boy, I see unknown phone numbers come up. I'm not answering that call.
You know, it's a problem. Response rates on surveys have been declining for the last 30 or 40 years, and they've got to the point where they're pretty low, regardless of what methodology you use. There are two schools of thought on the issue in the polling business. One of them is that really you've got to make your response rates as high as possible and you use multiple methodologies and spend more money and try and get as many people as possible to participate in your surveys. The second school of thought says that this is the way it is. You need to collect as large a larger sample size as you possibly can. And then you need to learn which groups of people are responding more readily than other people. You need to measure those characteristics, and then you need to weight, in other words, statistically adjust your data to compensate for it. For example, if I do, like the survey we just did at the beginning of January, 1,800 people, we asked the question, who did you just vote for in November, Kamala Harris or Donald Trump? And if you believed the raw data that came back, you'd think that Kamala Harris had won Alaska by about 6 or 7 points, when in fact Donald Trump won by 13 points. So there's this very strong skewing, but you compensate for that and you weight the Donald Trump voters up and you weight the Kamala Harris voters down and adjust for that. You do the same on age and you do the same on male, female. You do the same on race and on education status and on party affiliation and everything, so that the weighted data set that we end up with is representative of all Alaskans based on all those demographic characteristics. And so to answer the question specifically about how can you find out, it's actually pretty easy to find out. When we send our texts out, we don't like send out some bit.ly weird link to click on, because that's the main thing. People don't like clicking on a link that they don't recognize. Our links are alaskasurveyresearch.com/survey or something like that. And people can go onto another device and put in alaskasurveyresearch.com, and they can find out who we are, that we've been in Anchorage doing this work for just coming up 30 years, right? And there are other ways to basically discern. If there are any spelling mistakes in the text, don't touch it, right?
Yeah, that's a good clue.
If there's a graphic, we put a graphic in most of the survey text invites we put out there. And the graphic has our phone number in it, for crying out loud, and our address. Right? It's like, what person who's trying to scam you is going to tell you who they are, right? So common sense is required to a certain extent. But it is true that some people have said, no, I'm not going to do that, which is fine. We'll get opinions from other people. And then, as I said, make the data look like Alaskans as a whole.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I hope that was helpful for Pam. Let's go to the phones for a moment. Tom is in Juneau. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Did you have a comment?
Yes. I'm in favor of Denali because it was the name given by the Dene people that live in that area. And I don't feel like immigrants have the need or the right to try to denigrate or destroy every little bit of indigenous culture.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Tom. Let's stay with the phones for a moment. Jason is in Copper Valley. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking the call. I want to appreciate the conversation, but also bring up this. It's gotten to the point where it's more than, I'll say, Alaskan Natives by blood and skin tonation, that, you know, the state is now made of lots of colors. We've got white Natives and yellow Natives and brown Natives and black Natives and topaz Natives. And the state's about the people. It's part of why most of the people came here. And Denali, the people, and the mountain, Denali, the big mountain. I think everyone that lives here and has chosen Alaska as their home always recognized that mountain was Denali, going back to the great joke of back, 10, 20 years ago, but when it was McKinley, having numerous friends that climbed the mountain and lived near it, everybody local, any Alaskan, would call the mountain Denali. We would just clarify that it's called McKinley by outsiders. And yeah, so it's just the point to bring up that that's, it's representative of who we are as a whole people, all the colors and such. As for a quick quit on the survey guy, I don't know. I think I didn't need any more surveying than Alaskan public news or radio. And 2-1 seems pretty solid as to the choices the Alaskans have made. Thank you for my call.
All right. Thank you. We're going to go to Mark in Anchorage now. Hi, Mark.
Hi, this is Mark from the Spinard neighborhood. I know that pollster quite well there.
I recognize that voice.
Yeah, so my question is about my second home, and that's a cabin in the upper Susitna Valley. And we go to Talkeetna and get on the train and go up the roadless wilderness area. And I have the great pleasure at Canyon, which is 44 miles north of Talkeetna, of having a cabin site that and a cabin now that faces Kasugi Ridge. So I have a question for Aaron. Mm-hmm. My understanding, just in books that I've read, is that Kasugi means the ancient one in
Athabascan. That's correct. In Upper Cook Inlet, Denali, that's correct.
Oh, okay, thank you. And then on the southern end, and that's a mountain on the southern end of the range, and on the northern end of the range, there's a flat-top mountain similar to our flat-top mountain here in Anchorage that is called Indian Mountain. Is that a name that Native people would find offensive, or or is there another name for it that you're aware of? I would love to help push for another name if that's seen as a positive thing.
There probably is. Off the top of my head, I can't say 100%. I'm sure there was a name, let me put it that way, whether it's been recorded or not. You know, one thing I get a lot of questions about, unfortunately, are the name for all the peaks, you know, that surround Anchorage. And we've got names for a few of them. But unfortunately, by the time anthropologists and linguists kind of came through in the 1918 flu epidemic, there weren't enough people that remembered all the names for the mountains in Anchorage. That's kind of a big lament of mine. But we have the ones that we do know definitively, and we certainly celebrate that. But yeah, as far as it being derogatory, I've never heard that. But you know, there's also there's not a big population right directly in that area either.
And we are certainly aware of some derogatory names that we're not going to name on air, but there was a creek near Dillingham that students really raised an awareness campaign to change that name that was offensive to Native people, Native women in particular, and so that changed. We also know that there's some others, Joe, that you had referenced before related to Black people and a very offensive name and how some of those things got changed. So there has been progress in some areas, but this is not seen as progress by most Alaskans. Let's stay with the phones for a moment. Thanks, Mark, for the call. We're going now to Doreen in Fairbanks. Hi, Doreen. Natuk? Is this Natuk?
Yes. Hi, Lori.
Hello.
Yes. First of all, I am for the name Denali. Trump hates indigenous. Anyway, number two, a comment on a person who called and said that he prefers names, indigenous names that are easy to pronounce. When I was five, I didn't know any English. I went to school. I was forced to speak English. I had the intelligence to learn how to speak English. And you, caller, or anyone else who speaks only English can have the intelligence to learn at least two or three of our indigenous words. And that's my comment.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the call. And you're absolutely right. It might be a bit of a struggle. And I know that I try hard to pronounce things properly. Sometimes it works better than others, but I always try to be as respectful as possible. And I, especially if it's a word I'm not familiar with, I will practice it before I go to air. And I think that's important for us to keep working on those things. We're going to take one more call here and then go back to our guests. Eddie is in Homer. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Did you have a comment?
Yes. Tying into the last caller, what I wanted to discuss, bring up from observations is what I would describe as linguistic colonialism, the idea that it's only a one-way street from the powers that be, often the majority, or the latest comer into an area to want everyone else to change wording to fit that language because it's easier to pronounce. And I think we need to respect it in both directions, as the previous caller mentioned. And I grew up only speaking Spanish till I was a young boy. And it was difficult till I started learning English. I'm glad to say now that I'm bilingual, and having been in Alaska for quite a while, it's always a challenge to learn the words here and to attempt to pronounce them. But it is also often done with the intent in one's spirit to want to pronounce the word and make the effort to communicate. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Eddie, for the call. We've had a lot of great calls here. And an email that came in kind of queued up something that I wanted Aaron to comment on about the practical nature of a lot of the place names. They weren't about ego, naming after a certain individual. They were descriptive names that could help people understand what was in the area or or where they were so they could navigate. A good example is Earthquake Park and the Dena'ina name for what that area was.
Sure. Yeah, so the Dena'ina name for that area is Nunlithgidi, and it means rotten land. And when, you know, after World War II, when the big fancy homes in Anchorage at Turnagain-by-the-Sea were being put in, nobody bothered to ask any Dena'ina people if they should be putting in their mansions in that area or what the Dena'ina name for that area meant. They quickly discovered in the 64 earthquake what that meant. And, of course, today you can see the effects of that in a park that's been commemorated called Earthquake Park. But the only reason there's Earthquake Park is because the land sloughed off and those houses were destroyed. They got money, and then some of them rebuilt in the area, but that's a whole different conversation.
It's still rotted land, right?
Yeah, you would think.
So, Aaron, staying with you for a moment, you had said in an earlier interview that commemorative naming in Native culture is very small, less than 10%, which is definitely small. So descriptive names were certainly important, as we just said, for identifying land that you didn't want to build a home on and for navigating. Tell us a story about your friend Alan Boris and getting lost and how he was able to find his way out.
Sure. So the late Alan Boris, friend, mentor, and longtime professor of anthropology at the Kenai Peninsula College, who did decades worth of work with the Kenaitse Dena'ina, and in particular, the late Peter Kalifornsky. And Alan was also really big into cross-country skiing, and he decided that he wanted to retrace Peter's trapping trap line in the winter on cross-country skis. And so he went out, started skiing, and fell over at one point, and then he got up and he kept going, and then he reached in his pocket to look at his GPS to see where he was and how far he had traveled, and he realized the GPS had fallen out of his pocket and he didn't have it. He also, then the next instinct he had was, well, I can always turn around and follow my tracks back, except that he was skiing so hard that he wasn't noticing how much snow had accumulated, and his tracks quickly disappeared, behind him. And so he got worried, and he wasn't worried so much that he was going to die or anything like that. What he was really afraid of, I think a lot of people that are accomplished outdoorsmen, he was worried that when he didn't return on the time that he said he was going to, that they'd send out the search and rescue for him, and the embarrassment of that whole thing. So he said he decided to keep skiing forward, and he came up on this ridge, and he looked down, and he saw this lake. And in the middle of the lake, there was an island. And all of a sudden, the Dena'ina name Nibana, which means island lake, came into his head. And at that moment, he said he instantly knew, okay, I know where Island Lake is. If I continue going, I don't remember what direction it is, say north, I'll hit the Swanson River, and I can go up the Swanson River, and I know how it flows. And then I can get back. And that's exactly what he did. But the way he described it was, he said when he came up that ridge and he looked down on the lake, he said it was like somebody had wrapped him in a blanket, or this warmth covered him in a sense that he then knew exactly where he was. And he had said that if he didn't know the Dena'ina name, and there's all these lakes around there, and if it was Jean Lake or Kelly Lake or something like that, it wouldn't have meant anything. And so he had a sort of first world real application to understand what the power of place names are, and why not having honorific names could be so important.
Mm-hmm. What an excellent example of, a life-saving circumstance. You don't have any navigation tools except for your knowledge of local place names and what that can tell you. We are going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll take more calls, questions, comments about the Denali-McKinley name change as Talk of Alaska continues. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Let's go back to the phones. Vicki is in Anchorage. Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I am just calling to say that I moved here in 74 and was quickly educated on the traditional name of Denali and have used it ever since. And our president can call it whatever he wants to. It'll always be Denali to us, and hopefully one day he'll change it back to its rightful name.
All right. Thank you, Vicki, for the call. Aaron, you had something you wanted to raise.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard from our Senate delegation about their strong feelings about not changing the name. But the question I have is, what's the opinion of the governor of Alaska? I would think that the governor of Alaska should have a very strong voice in being able to communicate the wishes of all Alaskans.
That's an excellent question. Maybe the governor will call us in our last 10 minutes here and let us know. Ivan, any other plans to revisit this, or were there things that surprised you that you might follow up on in this survey?
Probably not a redo. I don't anticipate that things are going to change much. So it was really just a one-off, I think. One absolutely jaw-dropping result, especially given the conversation we've had so far this show, and the attention that has been drawn to the importance of Denali being the traditional Indigenous Native Alaska Native name, was looking at the responses by the race of the respondents. Like I said, overall, you were looking at 26-54, 26 support, 54 oppose amongst the overall population. White people, who comprised just over two-thirds of adults, were actually 26-56, so 2 points higher on the opposed side. And then Alaska Natives, and out of the total sample, there was something just shy of 250 Alaska Native respondents in this survey. And they were 4 points skewed to the support side. They were more likely to support the name change. They were 30 support, 52 opposed. Now, don't get me wrong, they still oppose it, but you would have imagined, wouldn't you, that Native respondents, if anything, would be significantly more opposed to changing the Indigenous name. But they're not. They're actually the other way, probably to a significant extent, which just floored me.
Any thoughts about that, Aaron? I mean, we know Alaska Native people aren't a monolith. They're not.
Yeah, well, I
think
again, because there's six names, I think some of it may be, well, you know, that's the Koyukon name for it, but we call it Dlay Ka'a. I mean, there could be some of that in there, whereas I think non-Native white kind of, it's another way to trump up your Alaskan cred, your street cred. We don't call it a snow machine. We call it a snowmobile and all the, or vice versa, whatever it is. I always get them mixed up, to be honest. I've lived here my whole life.
Here it's snow machine, right, not snowmobile.
There we go. Okay, yeah. So it's one of those. I think it's a badge of honor. You know, you've seen this sort of growing Alaska pride, 907, whatever it is, that kind of thing. So I think that might be what you're seeing in some of the data.
All right. Let's go back to the phones for just a moment. Carol is in Juneau. Hello.
Hello, this is Carol.
Yes. Did you have a comment?
I do. First of all, it should remain Denali. I like that. I looked up on my road atlas, and I looked up Ohio, and I don't see any counties or any cities named McKinley, which if the Ohioans are so excited about renaming Denali as McKinley, why don't they even have any kind of town or county named McKinley? I thought that was pretty
or the highest point in Ohio, if they really want to do it, have the highest point in Ohio named after McKinley. It's like a hill at 300 feet or something like that.
Such an honor. There you go. Thank you for the call, Carol. That
You're
is
welcome.
Interesting that there's nothing in the man's home state. We had by email from Mary in Fairbanks. Mary says, because this is something that I know everyone's wondering, why on his first day, why this executive order, somewhat obscure in the face of so many things that the country is facing right now? Mary writes, I believe the rename of Denali is a payback to Alaska from Trump for electing Senator Lisa Murkowski, who refuses to fall in line with the rest of the Alaska delegation. This is the one executive order among so many that mark the beginning of the end of our democracy, which will happen if Congress and the judicial branches continue to bow to the executive branch. How sad that we need to spend so much time on what should be a non-issue, while incredibly important issues such as the dismantling of our government is happening in our state and federal government. That's from Mary in Fairbanks, who is clearly not happy. Here is from Chris and Homer. Thanks for the great show. I'd like to say that I believe the renaming of Denali, the retaking of the Panama Canal, the taking of Greenland are basically distractions created by the new president and mainly by his inner circle of advisors. This distraction is not only meant for us, but also for the president. And Chris says, please look at the big picture and don't be distracted.
I agree with that.
You think it's just hey, look over here, and while we're doing something over there, is that what you think?
I do. I mean, I think it's just noise. There's a lot of things that are said, but, you know, again, yeah, the taking or making Canada the 51st state. I mean, it's all, yeah.
Part of it.
Not only that, but reiterating making Canada the 51st state 2 days after you imposed tariffs on them.
Right.
Which just seemed like a really weird thing. You just really annoyed your neighbor and now you're inviting them to be it. I don't know. People hated that idea, by the way.
So we only have a couple of minutes left here. Joe, the Historical Society, you're the executive director, sent the Alaska delegation a letter. What did it say? Did you say, hey, stand up for Alaska here?
We said that we would like them to investigate ways to see if there's possibly can be changed again to Denali, and encourage them to do so. Apparently, the senators spoke up that they did not encourage the action that the president took. I hope they continue to have that position, and we continue to express our opinion. The majority of the folks of the state of Alaska would like the name to be Denali. It's interesting. It's difficult to understand what was behind his interest in changing the name, if it was undoing the actions of a prior Democratic administration, if it was because he has a personal connection in his past. I understand that some of his relatives did participate in the Klondike Gold Rush.
Did you get a response to the letter from the Historical Society from any of the delegation?
We have not yet. It was just went out on the 28th of January.
Okay. We have an email from Barb, or actually, I guess this is from Marlon, that says, in the interest of compromise, how about this? Leave Denali as Denali and name a different peak McKinley, or leave Denali and name a new one Trump. Marlon says, I think that would appeal to his desire to be recognized.
Or what if we change the Yukon River to the biggest river in the United States?
just leave that. That's a descriptive name. Any final thoughts about this idea of the importance of naming things in a way that honors the place and the people and the history rather than somebody that may or may not have visited?
Well, I think it's important going forward when we think about what we're using to commemorate new things and what the implications are for that and how it communicates. A prime example is the Denali Civic and Convention Center. I think it really woke people up to the idea of who the indigenous people are of Anchorage.
All right. Thank you for that final thought from Aaron Leggett, president of the Native Village of Aklutna. Also in the studio, Joe Antonsen, the executive director of the Alaska Historical Society. And on the line from Hawaii, Ivan Moore, owner of Alaska Survey Research, who conducted polling on the name change. Thanks to our engineer today, Chris Hyde, our producer, Madeline Rose, and on the phones, Ava White and Wesley Early helped us out. I'm Lori Townsend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.